Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Good morning, fans and friends. You've tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show here on the Island of Long, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Chris Switzer, and a cast of thousands behind the scene making this work. And if you didn't know, today is the anniversary of the first self-serve grocery store, Chris, that was opened today in 1916. So that's 104 years ago in Memphis, Tennessee, by a man named Clarence Saunders. I know he gave you your favorite place to shop. Yes, you get your ding-dongs at the Piggly Wiggly. The day in history. So we celebrate with you, Chris.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad. I'm writing that down right now. Knowing the full history of my Piggly Wiggly and my Ding Dong is just, it's making me weep here, openly weep right here on the air, Ray. Thank you so much for that little bit of trivia that I could write down on a wall here somewhere.
You're welcome. And, we're going to try to do somewhat what we call a normal show, which is, you know, plates falling off the shelves and wrenches working.
It's been working well so far.
Yeah. And if people want to get in on that, they can try. Give us a call at 516-256-9510. Of course, follow us on social media platforms on the internet and on Facebook. No, the internet and Facebook and Twitter. It's Motormouth Radio. Right. And on Instagram, it's Joe's favorite, which is real_ Motormouth Radio. And you can see what we get into during a week. Well, we're not doing this. You know what? Besides the Piggly Wiggly, there was history made last night, Chris. I don't know if you got to participate in this at all.
Did it have anything to do with ding-dongs?
Well, some may say. Okay. Some may say, no.
You have my attention.
It was 46 years since Cousin Brucey played music on WABC. He was back last night.
I missed it.
That's okay. That's okay. And I'll tell you
so
why.
So did he. He missed it too, right?
No, he was there. It was a three-hour show from 6 to 9, broadcast live, and I recorded it.
Oh, son of a gun.
Yeah, so I got it off the stream. I have all 3 hours.
It's your Cousin Brucey.
Yes. Knowing Cousin Brucey as well as you do, you want to take a guess at what his first song was back on WABC after 46 years in absentia?
Wow. Oh, gosh.
He was pre-selling it, and I was trying to guess. My mind was racing, trying to figure, oh, my God, what's this guy going to play?
Holy smokes. You're giving me, like, 50 years of songs that I could possibly pick from.
I'll tell you this. It's a classic oldie.
Yeah.
Pre-70s, obviously. Yeah, we're going to go that classic.
Pre-70s, okay. Is it 50s?
I will say, I didn't look up the year it was released, but I'll say yes.
I would say Danny and the Juniors Rock and Roll is Here to Stay.
That's a good guess. At the Hop would be good, too. No, he played Maybelline by Chuck Berry.
Oh, wow.
Which I guess that had to be a 50s release.
1954. Was probably, they say it's the unofficial, and I please correct me on this, you social media freaks, if I'm wrong, but I think they call it the unofficial first rock and roll song.
Wow.
Because it was 1954, and it was before Bill Haley and the Comets. It was before and Rock Around the Clock.
Right, Elvis was right around five. Yeah, so, that was, I listened to the first hour just out of curiosity and out of nostalgia, if right. you will. And, he talked about, he mentioned Sirius. He talked about, it's kind of cool the way he does a show, because we've told people the way we work is very loose and unformatted.
You would have called that.
Boy, he's even, he makes us look like CPAs.
He's 83. He doesn't care.
I know.
And he doesn't care.
And you know what? With these ears now, I can hear that, because something happened, something started to play, and he wasn't ready for it. He was like, well, it's okay. Just let that go. Like, not a care in the world. You know, something happens in the studio or on your feed, and, you freak out a little. No, this man doesn't freak out. He's just like, okay, he goes like, shell that. We'll get back to that. Like, excellent.
That's radio the way we like it.
Yeah. Very, very good. Very, very cool.
Disorganized at its best. All the copies upside down. It's on fire. Who cares?
Exactly. Exactly.
So. Wow. And he didn't take a nap between songs or anything like that? Well, we don't know.
He may have. He may have. It's very possible. So I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah. Cousin Brucey started on WABC. I think he probably mentioned it back in the, 61, I think, or 61 or 62.
Let's see, 46 years, so that would be 6 from 10 is 4. 64, I guess that would be.
Right.
Yeah. But on to some car stuff. I have a topic I want to talk about, and I want your expert opinion.
You're really reaching now.
I know, but that's what we do.
It'll be opposite yours. I'm sure of it.
No, I think yours will be the end all, because this is something you do that I really haven't in a while. So you have the answer.
Okay, let's do this how we rehearsed it. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, good. Right, exactly. I went and spent some time with our compadre Joe yesterday. I was I was up in Queens, and one of the
my uncle Lavunge. Yes.
Yeah. The topic of the day was. He was had some guy coming to pick up his toolbox, which is affectionately his minivan.
Yes.
One of the guys from the shop. So, his wife cleaned it out and then was ruminating over the stuff that was in it in bags. So I took it upon myself to start going through stuff to help her clear out things and clean up and get rid of parts. So there's other stuff that we went through, and I said, listen, I can – some of this stuff is definitely – worthy of selling. Somebody else can use this stuff. And I was talking, there's some test equipment, meters, gauges, and just a lot of little, he's got boxes, and like we all do, boxes of stuff. So the question is, what is the best way or the best preferred way to sell off your old stuff? And I know that you do this. And like I said, I haven't in a while. So
Good question. I would say the best possible way to sell something like this is, we have a bunch of choices here, limited amount of choices. You can probably count them on one hand, but I would say the one that everybody will guess, and so will I, will bring up first, is eBay. And the reason why I say eBay is because it's pretty much the go-to place, or it has become the go-to place for a lot of car guys like us, because at one time we used to go to junkyards and pick these parts out of junkyards that were within arm's reach of wherever we were living. But now that the junkyards are gone, we to look for some odd or strange parts or unique parts, now we go to places like eBay or Facebook, the Facebook Marketplace. Those are the two places that I would say first. But when you bring up parts, you also have to bring up the information behind them, and that sometimes takes a lot of time. So when you hold up a part, you have to know if it's working or not. You have to obviously know what part it came from, what car, if it's in good condition, if it's new, if there's a history behind whatever part. A lot of that stuff takes a lot of time. Right. So and then once you put it up there, now you sit and wait.
Well, I ask because I know you do sell.
I do.
Currently, you do sell on eBay.
Yes, I do.
Now, I had done that in the past and had some success, and I know things changed. The Amazon, I buy a lot of stuff off of Amazon, and they sent me an email a couple of years ago and offered me an Amazon store. Said, you should have an Amazon store. And I looked into it a little bit. Now, the question I'm getting to, the real heart of the matter here is, what's it going to cost? Because with eBay, after a certain, there's limits, and then they want, you know, they get a piece of that. And sure. then there's tax issues with that as sure. well. So, you know, everybody wants to know, how can I sell my stuff and keep most of the money myself without yeah. giving it to somebody else? So that's really what I want to know. With that in mind, what, and Craigslist is another one that a lot of people will sure. use.
Craigslist is another one, sure.
And I don't know what those thresholds are. So an Amazon store would be nice because, like with me, for instance, I have such a varied amount of stuff I would sell. There's a lot of car stuff. I have motorcycle right. stuff. Right. I have machining stuff and measuring stuff. You know, a lot of machine shop equipment, you know, small stuff, handheld stuff, audio gear, you know, so I'd want to be more. And I like it being centrally located. I think that's kind of nice, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What do you think on that? Like, have you hit a level where you have to pay to sell?
Well, yeah, you always do have to pay to sell. It's just a matter of who you pay and how much. And you're also paying for some convenience, too. For example, just to give you the headlines, you're going to put something on eBay. eBay used to charge you a fee for uploading pictures and putting up a
– right.
They used to charge you a fee for that to put up a – what would you say, an ad. Mm-hmm. They don't do that anymore. Now they take from the back end. So whatever you make per month, they'll take like a 2% of, 2 or 3% of. It's probably gotten, it's probably increased in the last couple of months, but they will take a piece of that. If you're selling a complete car, that's different because then they will charge you a $50 fee for putting up the ad.
Okay. So the obvious question I have is, how do they actually get their geld? Does it just come out? Of the because the transfer can be between the buyer and the seller, obviously. Right. So it's up to you to pay back to them.
There's many ways of doing it. One way, and the way I use, is that they have access to your credit card.
Oh,
it's mandatory, like a credit or a debit card.
I got
so,
it.
So you don't have to cut them a check and tally right. it all up. They do it for you.
Okay.
So that's one way. Now, also, once you, let's say you sell something, now you have to get paid. So now you go to a service like a Venmo or a PayPal or something like that. Well, once the money is transacted, they take a piece of that as well. So you have to figure another 2% or 3% is getting skimmed off the top of your purchase or your transaction. So you have to factor that in. And then after that, you also have to factor in shipping because right. either, and a lot of stuff that I sell is really not that big. So I'll throw in, just for an enticement, I'll throw in free shipping. I'll say free economy shipping. Don't think you're going to get it overnight thing, but that's just me. Some people okay. do.
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
Some people do. And God love them. That's a wonderful thing. If they can deal in such volume that they can do that, that's great. That's a successful business in my eyes. But I will say, yeah, free economy shipping on some of my things. Not all.
Yeah, years ago when I was doing this, when I was selling on eBay, I had a little area set up in my workroom. I had a mm-hmm. shelving unit that had the parts that I was selling on it, and right. it would move from the to be sold to the already, you know, in. You know, you got to do this. I had to be very regimented about it. Sure. And I had a scale. And I learned from doing it, like, okay, first go in there, take photos of the item, you right. know, good photos, weigh it, you know, get the weight, then come into the other room, get on the computer and list it. And when I listed, I already had the weight, you know, so I knew I could calculate the shipping, you know, instead of saying, oh, God, I got to go back and weigh this damn thing.
You don't weigh it while it's in the box and packed?
Well, yeah, well, no, I, you know, because I found the weights were an average. So it was like, there was okay. always a little bit of wiggle room, you mm-hmm. know, so if something weighed maybe, I'm just going to make it up. If it was up to like maybe 6 pounds, the threshold might have been, you know, 8 or 10. Like that's okay. what the post office was giving you. So, you know, if you go to the next one up, you're covered, you know,
right.
you're pretty much covered. So, yeah, okay. I never had a problem with that. And then I was able to list it with the weight. You know, in already known, but I know that shipping has changed a lot too. I see things that I get that I buy from other places, and things that I've mailed out. You know, like the post office ended up was better years ago. Now I found that's a little higher, and FedEx seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, shipping has gotten very expensive.
Yeah,
it has.
And, you know, the shipping, of course, is the buyer's responsibility. That's not on the seller. You know, I mean, it's just on the seller to ship it, but it's up to the buyer to pay for it. So
exactly. No, it's true. I'm in the process of trying to get some parts shipped from South Carolina because, really, with the car I have, it's almost impossible to find anything here in the New England area, basically. And I consider, you know, I'll go as far down as South Jersey and bring it all the way up to the coast of Maine. And there's nothing for my car anywhere within these areas. So I have to, most of the time, rely on the joys of hunting down parts on the internet or hunting down people on the internet that pretty much have these cars. And a lot of them are in the weeds down in the swamps of the South. So you take it for what it's worth. But when you have to ship a part as large and as flat as a door panel, man, you got to watch guys run. They're like, no, I'm not shipping that. You got to come and get it. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going down there to get it.
That's one of the conversations we had yesterday. I told, I was sitting there going through this stuff, and I told Joe's wife, I said, you know, this is what we do when we go to swap meets. I said, we go to Englishtown, we just go through bins, boxes, and blankets of other people's junk.
Sure.
And she looked at me like my third head grew a little larger. And I said, yeah, this is what we do because his junk is, I don't have that junk. I need that junk. So, you know, I got to take his junk to add to my junk at home. I said, but some of it is that, you know, it could be that. And I explained to her, I said, it could be a window crank or a door handle for a car, an older car that, you know, it's good enough quality to use as a driver. Or maybe it's a piece of trim or it could be a speaker grill or, I mean, it's innumerable amount. I mean, you know that because totally. You know, you do it, but she didn't know that. And I said, so this is what we go and pay money for. So everything has a value. It really does. You just got to find that buyer.
You know, in the old days when we were kids, we would go to Englishtown. And that was the closest place to go twice a year for the swap meet. And one was in the spring, one was in the fall, and they're still going on. But before the advent of the internet and the advent of buying and selling on eBay or sites like that, we would take all of the junk that we accumulated throughout the year and drag it in a rental truck and a bunch of folding tables, and we would spend the weekend selling stuff, selling your junk and buying other people's junk. Yeah. And we would do this and make a couple of bucks here and there, whatever it was, and live literally like camping because there was no place to stay. You had to sleep in your car the Saturday night into the Sunday morning, and just the stories alone that go with that are – the show's not long enough, but those are the things we did. And a lot of times we made some cash. A lot of times we bought some great stuff.
Yeah.
It was a joy to do it. And the funny thing is, like, you know, I would love to do something like that again, but my age kind of gets in the way because I'm not sleeping in the car again.
No, well, let's face it. Our age started catching up with us when we had to walk that field.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
oh yeah.
I remember you and I might have said to each other, hey, when do we qualify for the you know, for the scooters and the walkers, you know, the motorized?
Yeah, because I remember one time you wore a pedometer.
Oh, yeah.
We did over 10 miles.
10 miles. And those were the days when my sciatica was really bothering me. I mean, it still flares up a little, but that back then it was chronic. It was bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, I remember the handful of whatever, the drugstore that you took with a shot of soda.
It was even better when we walked up on that one site and the guys were, you know, at like 10 in the morning, they already had like a big black bag full of beer empties and they have the log, they were like, it was like, so see how far you can toss this log and win a piece of junk from over here. Like, that guy gave me a handful of stuff. I was like, wow, yeah, cool. That's great. That worked. Thanks, buddy. See you later.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of those guys.
So if you have a story or you want to add to this, give us a call at 516-256-9510. Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer sharing stories, swapping spit, telling lies, all the stuff that we do regularly. This is what we do, part and parcel.
But that was the joy of being a car guy back in the 80s, was the fact that you looked forward to dragging this stuff over to a parking lot that was usually in April and September.
Right.
It was freezing cold in the evening, burning hot during in the day, most of the days, when it wasn't a deluge, it wasn't download deluge of rain. So, but we're going to go to the phones. Hey, we're going to go to the phones. We're going to go to the fun, and we're going to say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
What's up, guys? How you been?
It's the swap meet king, the king of junk, Vic. What's happening, Vic?
What's up, Vic?
Nothing much.
Nice.
The first rock song was Rocket 88. It wasn't Maybelline.
Whoa. That was the first rock song.
Yeah. Oh, the first. Oh, you say not on Crimson Bruce's show on. Okay.
No. The first one they considered it. I read that somewhere years back.
Okay. Like I always said, it's unofficial. But thank you for bringing that up.
Fair enough.
YouTube Marketplace is where you sell and buy now.
YouTube.
Nobody takes any action.
You mean Facebook Marketplace? YouTube Marketplace?
Yep.
I haven't seen that one.
Yep. Facebook. Yeah.
Facebook Marketplace, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
You deal with the person directly. You message them, they get back to you, then you work it out.
Yes, no, very true. It has become the issue with Facebook Marketplace, and Vic, you could probably attest to this, is that nobody knows how to take a good picture on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah.
No, I've seen they got 14, 15 pictures. It's not bad, all the angles and all.
Really? Because I've seen some pictures. I'm like, which is this guy? Who is this person? Whoever's taking this picture, can they take the tissue away from the camera lens? It's like, why are they taking a picture of the doorknob? Why are they taking a picture of their forehead? What? It's like, why is things so far away?
They got plenty of good pictures of the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Like, can you focus on whatever you're trying to sell?
Right.
But I scored pretty good on it.
Really?
Go on. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wow. Good to know. And
a lot of it is local. You put in local and then it's more distant, so it's not too bad.
So, Vic, I have a question for you, because one of the things that came up yesterday was I said, I have like 7 or 8 car doors that I want to sell, and that's obviously something I'm not trucking around. But when when you have someone come to your house, I my wife even said to me, well, why don't you just have them come here? I said, because they're going to do what I do. They're going to be looking over my shoulder into the yard, into the garage. What's over here? What's over there? And I said, I don't want any of that. I said, no.
Right.
So how do you handle the pickup of something that's a little bigger and bulkier like that? Well, okay, so you drag it somewhere else. Okay.
Right.
Yep.
That's viable,
Exactly. No, you bring
it. Parking lot.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I want to bring it to your house. At least I know I'm safe.
I need a magnet in my house to get rid of some of this stuff.
You need a junkyard magnet. Yeah.
A big magnet on a crane.
Right.
That's right. Whatever doesn't stick stays.
Right.
That's my life.
All the non-ferrous metal.
Whatever doesn't stick stays.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's funny stuff. I love it.
Vic, thanks so much for the call, my brother. Good, always good talking to you.
Be safe, everybody.
Yes, okay, you too. Be safe. We'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
So long, Vic.
All righty. 256-9510. It sounds like the phones are on fire there for a second.
Yeah. I hear it beeping and booping over there like crazy.
Yeah.
that's on your end, I think.
Yes, I'm the beeper and booper here.
I can't. Mine's silent. So yeah, you can give us a buzz and talk about this stuff. But that's the thing, And I desperately. So Joe's wife said to me, "You want to get rid of that?" I'm like, "Yes, I desperately want." These are doors to cars I don't have anymore, and I want to get rid of them.
Right.
I need the space.
And then that's what happens, because you collect the parts of cars you no longer have. I can't tell you how many times I've put in the copy, parts stayed, cars long gone.
Right.
Whatever the part I was selling. And I sold, sometimes you luck out. Like, I sold stuff off the Caddy Seville that I had 100 years ago. And some guy bought like a whole lot of, clicked down every one of my ads for every one of those parts, bought them all.
Right.
So, and sent me a check. I was like, dude, you're awesome. I left him Facebook feedback saying you're awesome. So let's go back to the phone, see who's on the line.
Okay.
Go, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, Chris, it's Dan.
Hey!
Hey, Dan, how are you?
What's up, Dan? How are you?
Good. And listen, I just wanted to chime in on something. Vic was right. I got to tell you, Marketplace, oh, my God.
Really?
I tell you, it's holy God. I tell you, I scored so many things, and I'm going to tell you what to find that I found last week. All right.
Right.
Was in fact, I was, you know, I'm on in Long Beach, and as soon as I seen it on the phone, I left about 5 minutes. It was a Sunrider top for a Jeep, Wrangler, right, for TJ Wrangler.
Sure.
But it was so rare. The piece was so rare that they only used it. They only made it. You know, Sunrider top is the folding top. And
oh.
they made a Mopar folding top in 2006, the last year of the TJ.
Got it.
And it was an expensive option, so a lot of people didn't get it. This guy had the complete set. The windows, the soft top, this folding. I'm telling you, it's easily worth about a couple of $1,000. Easily.
Really?
There's only very few. And I recognized it from the photo because right. The arms look like the pump on a shotgun. And as soon as I seen that, I knew exactly what it was.
Okay.
And I picked it up. I picked it up for nothing. Brand
wow.
New NOS part, you know, a whole complete soft top, windows, and the whole amazing.
So Dan, now you have to go get it. Now you have to go get a Jeep.
Oh, I got two of them anyway.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking you got the two. Top.
No, he doesn't shop like you, Chris.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, it's so funny because I was thinking of you recently. I was on Facebook Marketplace and I saw a Volvo P1800.
Right.
And I remember you talking about
okay.
One.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And no, I got one.
And you're the
I'm
only
be
one.
Driving it next week.
Oh, you do have it? You bought one. Holy
oh, we got it a while ago.
Yeah. I bought one. Yeah, a while ago. I bought it in 2014, but I'm actually going to have it on the road probably next week.
Okay.
You know, but oh my God!
No wonder why you love Facebook Marketplace. You buy everything.
Dan does, yes.
But yeah, but like you know, you guys, I feel so. You know, at least I don't feel alone now because I'm telling you, I got stuff. I got audio stuff on the set. You know, I got a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, cameras. And, you know, and I tell you, some things you have too much. It's like you know what? Let me get rid of this stuff. You know,
Dan, when did you realize, when did you actually stop, look around and go, I have too much stuff? When did that happen?
I know.
I'll tell you something.
Well, has it happened yet?
When I can't move.
When I
can't find anything.
I'll tell you this.
When you get to the point.
Yeah. Last week, our good friend Joe from Infinity Records sent me a text. And there was a big Mopar poster at some. He went to to buy a lot of stuff from people. And basically from a guy, a seller, it was like 6,000 albums. And then, you know, so he'll go to him, of course, and a bunch of audio gear. And I said, what kind of audio gear? Like, he got my antenna up. I said, I want, you know, like, I want it. It's like, you better tell me when you get it because I got to come buy it, you know?
Oh,
it's like, oh, what am I doing?
I know. Don't
tell me about it, please.
I tell you, with the audio stuff, the old stuff, you can't beat this stuff. I'm telling you.
Yes,
I mean,
of course.
Just a simple setup. Two speakers. I mean, I got two Macintosh systems. I mean, from a kid, I was impressed. When I seen that, and I heard an album, you know, this is going back.
Right.
And it was my friend's older brother that had this system. And I tell you, the blue illumination on the dials on those meters.
Yeah.
I never seen anything like it. Let me tell you. What a system.
How about
And I always said it. When I
go ahead.
You know, I had a little cheap Panasonic. When I get money, someday I'm going to buy that. That's true enough. I did, you know?
You know what I used to love about those?
Pretty cool.
They had the heavy tuning knob.
Weighted
it had like
flywheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, those were.
You could.
Right, those are the Marantz. The Marantz had that.
Yeah, you could send that thing right across the dial. I loved it. Yeah.
Right. But they say, like I had the MR78, they said it was the finest analog receiver ever made. You know what I mean?
Really,
I mean, just unbelievable.
One of the sites, one of the things I follow on Instagram is Vintage Audio Lovers, and it's just guys just put pictures of old audio gear, and like I look at that and go, I mean, it's like it's audio porn is what it is. You know? I mean, I look at that and I call my wife over. I was like, oh, hon, I said, come here, look at the set of woofers on these Wolfdales, you know, right? It's like,
oh yeah, oh, hey.
Yeah, small tweeters, but those woofers all. Baby, they're like just 15 inches. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is.
When I was a kid,
you called the right place.
I used to love to look. You shut the light off. You're in your bedroom there. You shut the light off, and all you would see is those lights like you.
Yes. No, I'm going to tell you this. I have done that. I've been in the room and I've shut the lights out just to look at my audio gear and look at the display. Yeah. And it's not even as nice as what you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. I'm not telling you. I love it. Absolutely.
You don't have to.
Are you kidding? You
know, nope said. All right, Dan. Well, we got to go and take our bottom of the hour break.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys.
Thanks for the call.
Stop by when you get the car on the road, all right? Stop by the house.
Safe. Bye-bye. I was going to leave you two guys alone.
Oh, no. Listen, I know when it's time for a break.
So, with I'm that said, now.
I know. How do you think I feel? We're going to take our bottom of the hour break, Chris, but do we have an honor group of the hour?
Yes, we do, Ray. Thank you for asking. The Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, welders. That's right. Do you have the pock marks on your face as a badge of honor from not wearing the masks?
I got a scar right here.
I was going to say, have you ever ran a bead of weld so well you had to show all your friends? Yeah. Have you ever got glowing slag in your ear where you heard the sizzle before you felt the pain? Well, please stand up and be recognized. You're part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. This week, it's welders. So there you go.
Very good. Thank you for that. All right. So with that, we'll take our break, and then we'll be back with more fun and frolic, maybe some more phone calls on Motormouth Radio, where we'll talk about selling junk and your love of whatever contraptional stuff you find interesting. And we'll do it on 90.3 WH.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com. Okay, we're back with Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. We're here talking about all sorts of automotive stuff, how to sell your parts today, what your thoughts are on the subject. But
I'm still watching the glow of my AM radio. It's over there. It's just there you go.
Yeah,
it's like I'm picturing Cousin Brucey on there. Yeah,
my AM radio doesn't glow. I have it here because I listen to it every day. Little antennae, but it doesn't glow. It's a Panasonic, and you know.
Wait, so, we got a call. You want to take it? We'll do
all
it.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hello.
Up, lost it. Try it again. Try it again. 516-256-9510. Write it down.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they're trying again. Let's do this.
I know we have two people calling right now. So.
Oh, okay. Let's take the first one. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
This is Billy G.
Hey, Billy Velvet.
What's up, Bill?
How are you? May I opine on the swap meet mystique?
Oh, please opine away, almighty.
Okay, so I just got back from Corvette to Carlisle.
How was that?
And that was about 50%, but it was successful in that I sold my vinyl hot top for the Corvette and some other treasures that I had. Yeah, Hank and I, we had a vendor spot. And speaking of vendor spots, we're going back for Fall Carlisle, and we took two vendor spots already. So we're going to do 3 days.
Oh, man. Yeah. How are you going to do it? Yeah. Did you get, like, a hotel room? What are you?
Yeah, I'm already.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I stayed the whole year. But you know what? It's I think of it this way. It's kind of like 3 days of doing either Raceway Park, Englishtown, or doing Wicks Road. Right. And you know, it's funny. I used to, when you go west of the Delaware, I would buy stuff that I knew was sold on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I was dealing with the toys, the Shark race cars and the Tin Litho gas station.
Yeah.
So you'd buy cheap west of the Delaware, and you'd come back and you'd sell high east mm-hmm. of the, you know, east of the Hudson.
Very
and
true.
It worked out. But then I said, you know what? Now I'm kind of like doing this as a business. I just want to thin out. So everything that I accumulated during the COVID clean out, I have like 9 bins. So I'm going to load up the Blazer. Hank and I are going to, we got 2 spots, and basically we're going to thin out and get rid of it. We don't know if there's going to be a Wicks Road this year.
Right.
As of right now.
Right. How was the turnout at Port Lyle, Bill?
Town. Yeah. You know what? It was about 50%. It was nice. It was, it was safe. It was, you know, if you were buying a car, you got a deal. If you were selling a car, you may have struggled.
Right.
But, you know, over the years with swap meets, my taste of swap meets was I had the old Camino years ago, and Hank talked me into, hey, Bill, we're going out to the swap meet. I said, Hank, I got junk. He said, Billy, he goes, I got dumpsters. At the end of the day, you throw it out.
Throw it out. Yeah.
That's where we hang out.
The bottom line is, I said, let me put the title to the El Camino in my pocket. I went home with my license plate under my arm. Stuff that crazy what I, it's just amazing what people buy.
I love it.
But you know what? You're losing that generation though.
Completely. I
mean, we're the senior guys now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're the seniors.
Yes.
You know.
Sure.
Yeah,
are.
So yeah.
I think
and,
about
and
when
I'm a, you know,
Billy, I think about when I was down in Englishtown doing this on a regular basis was the 80s, and that's like, holy smokes, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I started doing Hershey in the tail end of the beginning of the O's, you know, beginning of the century, and
right.
And now, you know, I don't know the future of what Hershey is as far as the clientele. I mean, but you know, people, the 1930 cars and 40 cars, unless you really have a love for them. And as you get older, you really appreciate those streamlined 41s and those 42 Pontiacs and Buicks.
Sure. The sedans. The two-door club coupes. Sedanettes.
Exactly.
Sedanettes. Yeah, they were great. They were great. Looking
straight eights, yeah.
Sure, sure.
So I'm trudging on, and we're going to do the swap meet, and the swap meets continue in my eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, we're not getting any younger at this, but I could still do the hills,
right?
Cardio,
and you're going to be situated between two people: one of them selling Christmas tree air fresheners, and the other one selling socks and keychains.
Well, you
and...
know what? The beauty of the disclaimer, if you read Carlisle's disclaimer, they tell you it's got to be like 80% car related or automotive related.
Right.
You could sell memorabilia. You could sell Chilton manuals. You could sell match by anything related to the auto. So I'm finishing up with my toy stuff. I got a big bruiser for sale, the tow truck. I got all of that type of stuff. You know, my car stuff. The only thing I got left car related is I got a set of mid-year Corvette exhaust tips. Everything else is gone.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I sold a 68 pump at Carlisle. I sold my vinyl hardtop. I sold the radiators. I sold the, you know, overflow tanks. Gone.
I believe
rear
it.
Rear end. No.
I sold all my C4 stuff right after the Corvette was after I handed over the title. I put a lot of the C4 stuff on eBay, and most of it is gone. I don't think I'm there. I think about it. I think I sold my exhaust tips too. They were gone.
You know, but the thing is, you got to have the gift of gab. You know, it's kind of like people look at it and they say, I don't need it. I said, do you want it? It's either do you want it or do you need it. I don't need it, but I think I want it. I said, you know what? I said, you got your own place. You got a coffee table. I said, wouldn't it be – what's better than having a 63 and a 64 Playboy on the coffee tables in your place? You know, he said, yeah, you know what? I like that. That makes sense. All right, he goes, I'll take them.
You know what I'm looking for? That's Corvette base.
That's brilliant.
I should have told you, Bill. I'm looking for the third brake light from an early C4. On those cars, it was actually a separate removable brake light on the back cowl. That's I want to put those on my Fiat. I think it'll fit. It'll fit.
Okay. Nice.
I have just an LED bar on there that's an aftermarket one. So I've already fitted up and wired it, but I'd like to get one off an early C4 because I think it'd be a nice finished. I was going to make one. I was going to make a housing for mine. But to do the bends on the aluminum, it's compound stuff. I don't have the equipment to do it. So I thought, you know what, just get the C4 one. It'll be a piece of cake.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what, Ray, you may have a shot. Mercedes-Benz did that in the late 80s. They put that light up on the trunk and then before they recessed it. So, you know, a lot of those cars in the late 80s that conform to the federal regulation, those are available in other makes and models.
You just got to find it.
So you may want to expand your search.
You know what, Bill, right. I would like to just be there, be a fly on the wall during fall English Town just to watch you work.
Yeah.
Just to see the velvet happen.
You have seen this man in action, believe me.
You have impressed me many times with your velvet action.
You know, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Yes, sir.
Just get it out there.
You have proved right. Yeah. Your schmooze is super schmooze.
Hey, listen, eliminated a lot of neighborhood conflicts with that in the days of the PD with the schmooze.
I believe it.
Okay.
And it,
all right, guys.
And the substance shows.
All right, Bill. With that, we're gonna move on. We got another. We're gonna have another call.
Go ahead, guys. Good talking to you.
Always a pleasure.
Okay,
thanks, Bill.
Stay well.
We'll talk.
Bye bye. Right,
bye bye.
516-256-9510. Write it down.
I don't think we have to. People know the number. I think we should have another call coming in right about now. In fact,
I think I see something. Let's do this. The phones are on fire. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
It's Matco Man Brian.
What's up, my brother?
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
What's going on?
How's the coffee in Maryland today, Brian?
Cutting the grass.
You're cutting the grass. We're talking about junk, and you're cutting the grass.
Yeah. I'm cutting around all the junk. Wow.
What kind of junk do you have to cut around?
I got a 69 International Scout. I got an 87 Audi 4000 Quattro.
Oh, man.
I got a couple hoods for a Mustang. I've got a set of 67 Shelby wheels. I mean, you name it, I got it.
Holy smokes. Nope. You know, that's what Vic was talking about, Facebook Marketplace. And that is one of the things that used to crack me up, because you'd see the car in the field and they mow around it in the field, but they wouldn't mow right up against it. So whatever was growing would grow right up next to the car. So you couldn't see what they were trying to sell. No one decided to go get a weed whacker and cut around the silly thing. I've seen many of those pictures, many of them.
No, I have city ordinance, so I have to weed whack around.
Oh,
you know, Chris, I thought of you the other night, because on Thursday night after playing in traffic, Brian and I stayed on, and we were talking about Audis, and I told him my Audi 5000 story, which I know makes you cringe.
Oh, yeah, Brian, I have such a disdain for the make. I'm so sorry you have something like that sitting in your yard.
But I tell you, what a great road car that 5000 was. It was the first weekend I bought it on a Friday. Went and registered it, and I think that Saturday, my wife and I had to go out to, like, some family event out in Montauk, and I just, like, it was like the danger drive off a cliff. Like, let's go. Man, that car cruised great.
I believe it, but I'm still not a fan. Not a fan at all. And it's a shame, because I'm sure they produced very good vehicles. It's just none I know of.
They're just very finicky.
Yes, I believe it.
And Brian, is something that's also finicky is people's tool choices. And I know there's myself included, a lot of Matco fans out there. Isn't there is there a giveaway, some contest starting this week through Matco for the Hyperstep drill bits?
Ooh.
I think that was actually last week. Last month.
I missed it? Wow. Okay.
You missed it.
Damn. All right. Those drill bits, I saw that was a large. Yeah, I saw there was a larger set that came out that goes, what's the range? It looks like 16th to half. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the 29 piece. Yeah, that was, and I think, I can't remember if the giveaway was on the Mechanics Lent Cobalt set or if it was a 29 piece. I know that they've been promoting the 21-piece Mechanics Lent, which is a little bit shorter drill bit, but they were also cobalt coated.
Okay.
For strength and durability. I think that was...
Brian, what was that again?
I think you're a little late, Ray.
What was that what was that again?
Coated. That was... Cobalt. They're coated. They're not... Coated, yeah.
Cobalt cold coated?
But the Hyperstep, Chris, yeah. You got to see these things. They're actually tapered down, so they kind of like preset, pre-drill its own hole so the drill bit doesn't walk around, and then it just kind of just powers through whatever you...
Wow.
I have to get a set of those. It's on my list, and I'll have to get the big set for sure.
They'll
drill right through a brake rotor or frame. I mean, there's very little effort in drilling. It's an awesome set of drill bits.
I could test that. If you want a drill bit tester, I'm your guy. I'll wear out any drill.
It's okay.
Bit. I'll turn them into crud.
Well, I could start with a sharp one first.
Well, you know, Ray, hold on now.
Yeah,
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
In the shed.
I was watching a video other day, and they were talking about the angle of attack for the drill bits, and I think there was a misconception because the guys were talking about the angle, saying, you know, like how well it worked in wood. You know, with metal, you typically do 135 degree angle. It's a shallower angle, and for wood, it's a steeper angle. So, and that Hyperstep does have a very steep angle, but that bit looks like it surpasses in any material. So, Adam.
Yeah, well, they have the angle on there also for you when you're drilling into pipe, as opposed to keep it from walking around.
Right. Wow. So let me ask you this. Did you walk around at the Cars and Coffee that's over by your house on Sunday mornings today?
I sure did. We had about almost 200 cars today, if not more.
Nice.
And it's you know, like I said, it's never a dull moment, and there's always something unique or catches your eyes, you know.
So what caught your eye
pretty
today?
Crazy.
What was your choice today?
Today, the first time ever, there was like a 32 Ford Roadster, and he had a Vietnam paint scheme on it. And unfortunately, I forgot my phone, and I couldn't take any pictures. But that was the first time I've seen that car. Right. And it was very clean and very nice. And that was the one that I really kept walking back and looking, especially there was so much in the paint scheme, you know.
Yeah.
And type of stuff. You know, like I said, there's always some old school stuff that comes up there, and it's always nice to see something with you know, two fours and, you know, that type of stuff. So
hey, I gotta, you know, speaking of that, Brian, let me tap into your vast Ford information. A buddy of mine sent a picture this week of a car on eBay. It was a 67 Galaxy with a 390 and was it two four barrels or three two barrels? And he was asking, the question came up if it was ever actually built that way, if it was ever sold that way.
Yes.
It was.
Yep. Now,
so
what year? Yeah. I'm thinking early 60s.
67.
That's too new.
67.
When was it?
No, they had that was part of the performance package deal. They had, I think it was 3.2s.
Really? On something as late as 67? Yeah.
It's a 67, yeah. I'm sorry, 67 Mercury Monterey with a convertible.
Yeah.
With, 44,000. I'm looking at it now, 44,000 miles, and it's a tri-power. So it's a 390 with tri-power. So that is original, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Wow. It could be.
Going to report back. That's, wow, 44 grand. It better be original for that kind of wood, right?
You bet.
Yeah. When I was a young lad working at the gas station, we used to restore Corvettes at this gas station. And my everyday driving car was a 67 with a 427 tri-power. So nice. That was a fun car for a 16-year-old to be driving around.
How many tickets and how long did it take you to lose that car?
I never lost it or a ticket, but I turned a lot of heads, though.
I was going to say, are you mowing around it currently?
Well, what happened to it?
No, I wish.
What happened to it?
I don't know whatever happened to the car. That was the owner of the gas station.
Oh,
that had that car.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was yours.
No, when we had a buddy that worked, he had the 63 split window fuel injected.
Nice.
That we drove around. So we were in the middle of delivering packages. We weren't allowed to look at the package, but we just made deliveries.
Yeah, gotcha. So, yeah, Chris had a job like that in Brooklyn, too. Like, bring this package, but don't look at it. Okay.
Yeah. Brown box.
The guy will give you an envelope. You bring it back to me, and then you drop it off on the corner, right?
And the guy had that square over his eyes, that rectangle, that black rectangle over his eyes all the time.
Right.
So you
swing the canoe.
No, yeah, it was kind of shady, but hey, what do you want?
That was life in Brooklyn, Brian. All right, Brian, we're gonna run because we're getting toward the end of the day. Thanks for the call, and we'll see you on Thursday night.
That sounds great. You guys be safe and take care.
Thanks, okay, Brian. Bye. You too. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
All righty. That was our good friend, Matt Goldman, Brian. You can catch him along with me on Plane in Traffic on Thursday nights on crowdcast.io with Lewis Lee. We have fun doing that, and it's always cool stuff. It's a lot of overlap. What we talk about there, we talk about here and vice versa. So
well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad I'm part of it in some way, shape, or form, because Thursday night I was up to my elbows in transmission fluid.
Did you get the – well, we only have about 5 minutes left, so that means we have about 2 minutes left.
Let me tell you all I know in the next 5 minutes about replacing the transmission fluid in a torque flight. I can get down to 2 minutes. Let me explain to you. 2 minutes. Ah!
There we go. True radio professional.
Oh, my gosh. The forsaken pan is still leaking.
Really?
I got to tighten it down. And, of course, you go to look at on the forums to see how maybe there's a torque spec on something like that. Oh, no. One clever individual says, you got to tighten it the German way. Good and tight. I'm like,
there is a torque spec, and I'll tell you that the pan on Chevelle leaks too. And I've retightened those bolts a number of times, and they are tight. It's just,
oh my gosh! And you don't want to squeeze the gasket because that's going to just defeat the purpose. So you have to tighten it to the point where you got it, like you got to quarter turn it up until the point where it stops leaking. Well, that could be weeks from now.
How did you apply the gasket? Any kind of gasket cement? Did you do it?
I put gasket sealant on the pan. Put the gasket on it. I didn't put any gasket sealant on the transmission body itself.
Right.
And I let it sit overnight.
Right.
I didn't put it together right away. I let it sit overnight and then put it together and kind of tightened it to the point where I just watched the gasket move. That was it.
That's how I do it too. But I think like with his car, what I want to do now is maybe put a thin bead on the top of the gasket between the gasket and the transmission. See if that stops the leak.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that. Because that's a drag.
I know. But you know, when you're stuck, what are you going to do? You know,
I know. It's killing me. It's totally killing me. I'm going to go out there now and start cursing like a sailor when I see the small little puddle of transmission fluid on the piece of cardboard that I have under the car. Right. So,
well, I'll tell you what, Chris, we will, you do that. We'll talk about this again next week. We'll come back and follow up with more riveting stories from the garages as, and, on Motor Mouth Radio. So, yeah, we're going to get out here and let Kim take over, do Thunder Road, best to Springsteen and anyone who played with him. So what do we always say, Chris? What's our out?
Don't follow us home and don't change the transmission fluid in your torque light.
You got it. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we're signing off. 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.